Now we come to our 11th overall in this series of messages, preaching from Titus. We come to our 6th in the, series within a series on But Speak Thou the Things Which Becomes Sound Doctrine. We're looking at Titus chapter number 2 for a text verse and verse number 1. Titus chapter 2 verse 1, But Speak Thou the Things Which Become Sound Doctrine. Our Heavenly Father, will you help our study today and use it for your glory? Help me to say what I should and nothing that I should not. In Jesus' wonderful name, thank you for the privilege of being able to preach and open the Word of God to the people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we look at this, we are going to go back into these doctrines, and Paul is commanding his young preacher in the Lord, Titus, on the island of Crete, to speak the things which become sound doctrine. Now, we said that sound means in good health, and doctrine means teaching. So we're to teach the things in the churches that are of good health. You know, my wife pointed something out to me several months ago, maybe a year or two ago now. She said, you know, have you ever noticed that preachers as a whole do not preach out of the epistles of Paul anymore? And a lot of times they don't. And the deal is, the reason that our churches are so worldly and so out of tune and so out of touch, and people are just doing anything they want to do, is because that there is no structure, there's no doctrine. You see, we have rules in everything. If you go play ball, you've got rules of baseball and football and all kind of sports. You've got rules in everything you do. And the world puts their rules. But we come to church, we don't want any kind of stipulations on how we live or how we do. But doctrine will teach you what you believe and what you do not believe. As a young preacher, I was taught the doctrines of the Bible, and I had the privilege to have access to some great men that preached the Word of God, and it grounded me in the Word of God. Now, 41 years later, I'm still preaching what I learned in those days. Now, I've come today to our 10th doctrine as we're looking at, and I think we're going to look at 20 doctrines is what I think the Lord's going to allow us to do. It could be more, it could be less. But we come to our 10th one today, and I want to talk to you about, for a little while at least, on the doctrine, and this, we may get farther than this in the message, and may get two doctrines in today, I don't know, we'll see. But I want to talk about the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The doctrine of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say to you that Jesus Christ is God. I want to say to you that back in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1, you'll find Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God, and that word is the Hebrew word Elohim, and it means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to look at several verses concerning Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to call your attention to 1 Peter chapter number 1. If you have a Bible, you'd like to turn with me and follow with me as we study together. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Now, Christ is God's Son. The Bible said in John chapter number 3 and verse 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That don't mean that you believe there's a God, but that means that you put your trust in Jesus Christ to go to heaven. You ask him to save you. Let me ask you a question today. What are you trusting in to get yourself to heaven? You say, well, I don't like to think about the hereafter. Well, you better start thinking about it. And as it is appointed unto man once to die. I was on my way to the office this morning. My brother texted me telling me about somebody that died. And, people die. Amen. Famous people die. Rich people die. Poor people die. Unknown people die. Everybody dies. The only way you're going to get out of dying is the rapture of the church come. Now, but Jesus, before the world began, let's just read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20. The Bible said, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, the Bible said, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now let me stop right there. Amen. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. What was their sin? Their sin was they disobeyed God. Don't make something out of that that's not, okay? The world tries to make things out of the Bible that is not. And I'm kind of tired of people just brushing the Bible aside and putting philosophy and putting the world's thoughts in there. Let's just take what the Bible said. They took a fruit off a tree and ate it. Well, what's so sinful about that? Because God said don't do it. When God says don't do it, don't do it. Amen. It's rebellion. It's sin. And so they sinned. Now, when they did that, they plunged the whole human race into sin. Now, they didn't. I hate to say this. Contrary to the songwriter, they didn't search through heaven and find a Savior. All right? They did not. They did not have to search through heaven. They didn't have to look and say, well, who will go and die? It was foreordained. Nothing to take your Bible. It was foreordained. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20. Let's go back here. I have a hard time going back because of my notes. But let me go back. And verse number 20. Let's read it again. 1 Peter 1, 20. The Bible said, who verily, that word means truly, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now, notice this. But was manifest in these last times for you. That word manifest means made known. In these last times, Jesus Christ is made known. Do you know that under the Mosaical law, Jesus was not made known to the Jew? And then just in the last 2,000 years has Jesus been made known to the world. Verse number 21, the Bible says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. I had a little trouble reading there. All right, so God's raised him up. Jesus died on the cross. He had to go to the cross, all right? He died for everybody. Jesus did not just die for a few people, but he died for all men. John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the those that are elected to go to heaven. Nope, didn't say that. Didn't say that. Sorry, folk, didn't say that. It said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus died for everybody. Now, I don't believe there's life on other planets. I don't believe the Bible teaches that, and I go with the Bible. I do believe there's other worlds. I believe God created Jupiter and Mars and all that, but I think we're wasting our time sending people there. There's no life there because God loved this world, and God died for the mankind that he created upon this world. All right, so he died for you. That's Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. Now, he's 100% God, and he's 100% man. All right, let's just understand that. Now, let me go back in Genesis chapter number 3. I want you to turn your Bibles to Genesis 3. And I may spend some time on this. I'm just going to follow the Holy Ghost. I'm not in a big hurry. I hope you're not. But in Genesis chapter number 3, we find really the first prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. God passed judgment upon three in these verses. He passed judgment upon the woman. He said, you're going to be saved by childbearing. He passed judgment upon the man. He said, you're going to till the ground. And he passed judgment upon the serpent. Now, the devil entered in. Satan entered into the serpent. The serpent was a beautiful creature. I don't know all about that. There's some debate whether that serpent could talk or not. I don't know. There's really two beliefs about that, that was the only animal that could talk and the devil used it. But also there's a belief, and I sort of kind of maybe think it was like this, that the devil perverted that serpent and made that serpent talk. There's only two times in the Bible that animals talked. That was a serpent and a donkey, an ass. Balaam's ass talked, and she talked in the female voice, and the serpent talked in the male voice. Now, maybe there's a message there. You preachers could dig that out for me, all right? Or dig it out and preach it. I don't know. But here's the thing, and I'm sure there's a message in everything in the Bible, so you could. But here's the thing about that. I believe the devil perverted that serpent. And no doubt when Eve saw a talking serpent, she stopped. Now, the devil dazzles people. We'll get into the doctrine of sin a little bit later, Lord willing. But the devil is a good dazzler. Amen. Is that the right word? I mean, he can bright light it, buddy. He can put it on, for he can make it look good. And the Bible said the wages of sin is death. You know, every week I get a wage. I get a check. Amen. I'm paid from the ministry here. And then, of course, the support comes in to help pay our bills. And so I get a check every week. And, you know, I get a wages for what I do. Of course, I guess, when you sin, you're going to get paid for it. The wage, that check's going to come one day from God. All right. Why? Because sin is a destroyer. Now, we'll study that later, but here's Jesus Christ. I want to study this prophecy for just a few minutes. Genesis 3, verse number 15. He's talking to the serpent. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Let me stop right there. Enmity. In other words, if you don't think there's some enmity between a woman and a snake, buddy, you put a snake between close to most women, and brother, they're going to scream their head off. Amen. When my wife sees a snake, she hollers at me to get a hoe or something to kill it with from a different zip code. Amen. She's gone, buddy. I promise you that. Amen. And she told me one day, said, if I find a snake in the basement, I'm going to sell the house. And I was just hoping I didn't go with it. Amen. But anyway, I said, let's don't sell the house. We didn't find a snake in there. And let's pray we don't. Amen. I like where I live. Amen. All right. Genesis 3:15, the Bible said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Notice this. And between thy seed. Now watch this. And her seed. Now the Bible is a great book. And you need to stop. Oliver B. Green said this. He said, don't study necessarily chapters and books. And of course, he didn't mean not studying, but he was saying, put emphasis on studying words. That's what he was saying. Now, the wording here, her seed. Now, if you know anything about the body, you know that seed does not come from the woman. It comes from the man. They tell me I don't have 1 inch of my mother's blood in my veins. I have my father's blood. Now, let me say this to you. But Jesus Christ was virgin born. He's the only man was ever virgin born. All right? Amen. Amen. And so God prophesied of the virgin birth 4,000 years before it ever happened here in Genesis chapter number 3. All right? He said he's going to put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Well, there's enmity between this world and Christ today. If you call yourself a Christian or you call yourself a believer in Christ, if you're really trying to do anything for God, yes, you'll suffer. Christianity ain't always banana pudding and ice cream Christianity. I hear these folk all the time talking about how they live it up and things. I'm going to say this to you. I enjoy being saved. And by the way, I'd rather be saved than live for the devil. But I want to tell you, sometimes it's a fight and sometimes there's a battle. I don't hear many preachers talking about the battle today. Amen? I tell you right now, if the devil, my late friend Dr. Stennett Ballew, I heard him preaching the other day, and he was saying this. He said, people say, man, the devil's fighting me. He said, what do you expect him to do? I mean, do you expect the devil to come by and shake your hand and say, well, God bless you, preacher, you're doing a great work for God? He's going to fight us, friend. I'm learning that. Amen? And we can't fight him in the flesh. The Bible said we wrestle, amen, we wrestle principalities and powers. Me and my brother used to watch that wrestling on television. And one man would have the upper hand, then a few minutes later, next man would get the upper hand. But let me say this to you, we wrestle against the devil. Now that wrestling on TV, they say was fake. But I'll tell you one thing, fighting the devil is real. You won't fight him without Jesus Christ. You won't fight him without prayer. You won't fight him without fasting. You will not. There's enmity today between us and the world. Somebody said, well, I want to be saved, but I don't want to be a fanatic. I don't want people to just look down on me. Let me tell you something, friend. They're going to look down on you. If you're saved, if you dress right and walk right and go to church, and if you're faithful and read your Bible, yes, they're going to look down on you. And no, you're not going to fit. If you're fitting in with the world, you're doing something wrong, friend. Amen. If you're fitting in with their social life and their parties and their this and that, you're doing something wrong. You better check up on that thing. Amen. Now, let me read to you, continue reading this verse, her seed. All right. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. All right. Now, let me deal with that. First of all, the devil bruised Jesus' heel on Calvary. He sure did. The devil bruised Jesus' heel on Calvary. The devil crucified him. Every demon in hell, I believe, was present at Calvary. I believe that. I believe that was the time when the devil really thought he could overthrow God. And I believe every devil of hell can pass. The Bible talked about dogs compassing the cross. I believe those dogs were perverted men. I believe that's what that was. And I believe they were perverted. And if you go look that word up, in the Hebrew, it means male prostitute. It means that they were a bunch of perverts that surrounded the cross. And I believe every demon and devil in hell was there. And they didn't get the job done. You know why? Because on Sunday morning, he got up. Praise God, he got up. Amen. We talked about that in Peter, how God raised him up. I'm talking about the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. My Lord wasn't some long-haired hippie smoking dope, wearing flip-flops up and down and listening to beach music. Amen. That ain't my Lord. I want you to understand. I'm going to say another thing. That picture ain't my Lord either. That long-haired fella, that beard, that ain't my Lord. That ain't Jesus Christ. No. No, friend, I tell you, he's God. He's on the throne. He's got all authority, all power. He's not a baby in a manger now. He's Lord of lords and King of kings, and he will be crowned so. But the book of Psalms says he's already king, said he reigneth, present tense. He done, I know he's going to reign the millennial reign. I understand that. But, brother, let me tell you something. He's reigning right now. He's still got power over the devil. Yes, he's not ruling the world as far as like he will in the millennial reign. But I tell you one thing, he's got power over the devil right now. The devil has to ask permission before he does anything. Amen. Now, turn your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, that great apostle. I love the apostle John. What a great writer. What a great man. And he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John chapter 1, verse number 1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, that Word there is Jesus Christ. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." The Bible said all things in verse number 3, talking about Jesus Christ, "all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The Bible said in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now let me say this to you. Amen. When Jesus Christ created all things, he's from the beginning. He didn't just start in the manger. Brother, he's been God. The Bible said, "Thou art from everlasting to everlasting." Now, I didn't really understand that. I remember the first time I ever really learned all about that truth. Amen. I didn't know everything. I mean, when I first got saved, you don't know things. But I mean, you know, I knew he was God, and I knew he'd save you from hell. That's about all I knew. I knew very shallow things in the Bible. But let me, because I wasn't deep in the Bible. Amen. And so, but let me say this to you, that Christ has always been. He's as much God as God the Father. He's as much God as God the Son. He's a loving God. He's a saving God, but he's also a judging God. And if you reject him, you will go to hell without Jesus Christ. If you reject him, amen. The Bible said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, as we continue to study this doctrine of Jesus Christ, take your Bibles with me. And by the way, that's so important that you believe creation. It is so important. You see, the devil has sold us a bunch of lies concerning creation. And most Baptists spend their time trying to figure out how God got the elephant on the ark. And they want to downplay that. They want to say this and that. Let me tell you something. God did exactly what he said he did. God's God, and you don't have to understand it. I've given you this many times on the radio. I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk and yellow butter, but I'm going to keep putting my butter in my oatmeal. I'm not going to stop and worry about it. Amen. I don't understand electricity, but I'm not going to wait till I figure it out to use it. I don't understand how an automobile works, but I'm not going to sit in my car this afternoon and figure every part of it out before I go home. No, sir. There's some things in the Bible, amen, I'm not going to try to figure out. God's God. I don't have to reason everything out. I don't have to have a philosophy behind everything. No, sir. No, sir. Amen. God is God. And God, let God be God, my friend. You don't want a God you can understand. Amen. All the time. Amen. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. That great book of Matthew. Matthew writing mostly to the Jews and portraying Jesus Christ as king. In Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1, he begins the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. The book of the generation. Well, let's leave the S off of it because that's what the Bible says. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. All right. Now, here we go. The son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, amen. Now, what about that? Now, Jesus gives, I'm not going down that whole genealogy, but Matthew lays out the genealogy of Jesus Christ from Adam all the way down to where he was born, and he was virgin born of Mary. Now, you have another genealogy in Luke, and it looks at it from Joseph's side. All right. And what this was to prove that Christ is in the seed line to be king of Israel. That's what it proved. That's the Jews require signs. So Luke laid it out, who was a Gentile, and in Matthew, who was a Jew, laid it out, and they looked at it from different angles. All right, they did not contradict each other, but they looked at it from different angles, and so they laid that out in the genealogies of Jesus Christ. All right, he was legitimately the Son of God. He was not born out of sin. He was not born out of some immoral act, as they tried to make out like in the Bible. But he was God. He's not Joseph's son. He's God's son. Amen. Now, I find something very interesting in the Bible about Joseph and Mary. And I'm going to read this to you because I just stumbled upon this the other day. And not really, I wouldn't use the word stumble. That's the wrong word. But I came upon this when I was studying for something. And the Lord showed me something I'd never seen in the Bible before. It's always been there. I just hadn't never seen it before. It's amazing to me. Now, here's Jesus getting ready to be born. He's virgin born. And remember that Joseph is espoused to Mary. Now, back in the day, their espousalship was stronger than our espousal today. Now, you can get engaged to somebody today, and if you decide not to do it, you can break up with them or whatever. But in that day, it was a little bit stronger, and so it would take sometimes about a year. They'd be espoused for about a year, and so during that time, Joseph finds out that Mary is with child. And then God gives him some instruction in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. That angel of the Lord is none other than Jesus Christ. In a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, in other words, you're in the seed line, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, he's confirming. Amen. Now, Mary apparently had not told Joseph about all this because the angel told Joseph about how the birth was coming about. Verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou. Now the angel gives Joseph a charge. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, he gives him a charge. He says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. All right, Joseph is to name the baby Jesus. Now, that's good. That's in line with how the Jews did things. The father would name the child. Now, wait a minute. Now, turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. Now, Luke gives us something that Matthew did not give in his gospel, and Luke put it in his gospel. It's an amazing thing about the gospels. They're not contradictory. It's like a piece of a puzzle. They're put together. The Bible said comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's really talking about just comparing one verse with another in the Bible. You don't never build a doctrine off of one verse in the Bible. Never, never, never. Now, Luke chapter number 2, and where did that go? Amen? Well, let's see here. All right, that is not what I need to read. All right, so let's see here. Do I have that other verse? And apparently I do not have that other verse. All right, so let me just tell you what I was going to say. In the book of Luke, chapter number 1, when the angel came to Mary and told her she was going to have baby Jesus, Mary said, how can this be, seeing I've not known a man? And he told her, and he said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, the angel gave Mary the same command. I believe Mary's command was before Joseph's. And so no doubt when Mary and Joseph came together, Joseph said, well, you know, I'm willing to look over this. I'm not adding to the Bible. But you know, they had to talk somewhere along the way. And Mary said, well, let me just tell you a little bit, Joseph, about how this happened. And she said, the Lord told me to call his name Jesus. I hope that's all right with you. And Joseph said, oh, that's fine. I had a dream. The angel came to me and told me to call his name Jesus too. You see, God was working on both ends. Now, I'm not adding the Bible. I don't know. Maybe they didn't have a conversation, but I'm just saying both of them were commanded. I wished I'd had that verse here with me. And apparently I didn't print that in my notes here, so I have to have my verses printed up where I can read them. But anyway, both of them were commanded to name him Jesus. And the number 2 in the Bible is a number for witness. God never does anything, and he don't have to do anything. God doesn't have to prove to man nothing. He don't have to. But God never does anything without a record. God never does. God never does anything without a record or without a witness. Amen. Either a record or a witness. God does everything with a record or a witness. Now, let me go over to Luke chapter number 2, verse number 7. Now they're together. They're married now. Now let me show you something. The devil has fit Jesus Christ all the way. I mean, the devil hates him. The devil hates the idea of Calvary. The devil hates the idea of salvation and that man can go to heaven by grace. That's why today, men today are working their way to heaven. That's why some of you are sitting there today and saying, I hope so. And when I get there, I'll find out, no friend, you'll never get there. If you have those beliefs, hell will be your home. You can't work your way to heaven. You cannot buy your way to heaven. You can't do that. Amen. My friend, you must be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You must come to Jesus Christ, realizing He's the Savior of the world, and ask Him to save you with all your heart. That's the only way you get saved. That's all they are to. It's not a feeling. It's not getting up and shouting and busting the window lights out. Now listen, if you shout after you got saved, that's wonderful. But I mean, one woman, they prayed with her and they asked her, did she get saved? And she said, they said, did you ask the Lord to save you? She said, yep. And they said, all right. Said, are you sure you're saved? She said, okie dokie. And let me tell you something, brother. If that woman really got saved, she might have said okie dokie, but she's as saved as the person that shouted when they got saved. Amen. A lot of people doubt their salvation because of some of this stuff that's being taught in our churches today. And by the way, I believe in the moving of the Spirit of God. But I also believe there's some emotionalism sometimes that gets involved with it. Amen. I'm going to say something. Y'all ain't going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I kind of have a problem with a fella standing there with a camera or a phone taking pictures of people getting saved and posting them on social media. You need to leave that alone and let that person that's getting saved do the telling. Amen. You post it, it makes you feel good. Well, we had 13 saved this one. Let God do it. Amen. You know what? In the old days, they called it getting religion. And when somebody got saved, it was all over town that person told about it. Amen. A person that'll get saved and they never tell anybody about it, I doubt their salvation. I'm honest with you. If you've been saved and you never told anybody about it, I kind of doubt whether you're saved or not. Because everybody in this Bible that got saved, and there were a lot of people that got saved, a lot of people got healed and saved at the same time. And when they did, Jesus was more interested in forgiving sins, He was healing the cripple, all right? Remember that lame man in Mark chapter number 2? Jesus was more interested in forgiving his sins, He was getting him off that bed. So that man got doubly, he got healed and saved, amen. But I tell you, these folk went out and told it everywhere. Now, Jesus Christ, amen. But I love Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 7. I want to get back to that because I want to tell you a little story here from the Bible. You see, the Lord fixed it. He put three people in motion to get the world where they need to be. He touched one man's heart named Caesar Augustus. And Caesar Augustus said, proclaimed that all the world need to be taxed. That was the Roman Empire. They controlled the world at that time. Now, some say that wasn't a taxing. It was a registry. I'd be honest with you. I probably believe it could have been both. Amen. But the Bible says a taxing, and I'm going to go with the time. I believe there's money involved in it. I believe it was a taxing. I believe the Bible. I believe every word in the King James Bible. Amen. I believe every word. Did you hear what I said? I said, I believe every word. Amen. I'm not trying to run it back in the Greek and make it mean something else. It's all right to use Greek if you put it in its right place. But let's, amen, remember our Bible's written in English. Amen. Amen. You say amen right there. But anyway, here. Now I'm trying to help you. Don't get mad at me. I'm trying to help. Now, 70 mile, I believe it was, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now, don't you know that in Psalm 91, where he talked about he gave his angels charge over thee, don't you know those angels guided that 70 miles? Don't you know the devil would have loved to throw Mary off that donkey and killed her and killed the baby Jesus? I mean, the devil is cruel. That's why the Bible called him the dragon. That word dragon represents his cruelty. And brother, he's cruel. He would have killed Jesus Christ being a baby if he could have. But God brought them safely to Bethlehem, like the prophet declared that the Lord would be born in Bethlehem. And then we have Luke chapter number 2 and verse 7, this great verse that we read most of the time at Christmas time, and we forget about it the rest of the year, but we ought to read it all the time. Amen. Luke 2, 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, the Bible made that clear, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. The Bible said because there was no room for them in the end. They didn't even think enough of the Lord. They didn't even think enough of Jesus Christ. He was born in this world without a reputation, and there wasn't no room in the end, so they was born in a manger over there where the cattle stayed. And brother, God got him saved. And that's Jesus Christ. By the way, he's not a baby in a manger now. He's our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. He is Jesus. You ever thought about that name? I was talking to you a while ago about Mary and Joseph naming him Jesus. Have you ever thought about Jesus? Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, satisfies my soul. Amen. Boy, the name of Jesus. Amen. They said that the men were having trouble getting our United States Constitution together. And boy, they were at odds. And somebody said, let's pray. And they called on a man to pray, and he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. And things began to straighten up after that. I tell you, the name of Jesus, the devil, remember that demon in the book of Acts, that devil? He said, Paul, I know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? Boy, they know Jesus. Amen. All right, let me go on now. I want to give you Acts chapter number 2, verse 23. The Bible said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. By the way, it didn't take God by surprise. Calvary didn't. Ye have taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain. Verse 24 says of Acts chapter number 2, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. In other words, it's not possible that death could hold him. That's an impossibility. Why? Because he is God. He ain't some little baby in a manger. He's God, brother. And they took him out that Calvary, and they put him in the tomb. By the way, I don't like graveyards. You can do what you want to. I have to have funerals, and I've preached to many a funeral. And by the way, if a family calls me to preach a funeral, I will do the best I can if I'm able. I've had to miss some because I've been sickness, the other things. I've had to turn people down, but I try to go and preach if I'm called on to do it. I've preached funerals of people I didn't hardly know. But let me tell you something. I don't hang around a graveyard. That man in Mark 5, he was lost and devil-possessed. He hung around the graveyard. I'm saved and don't have any devils in me. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I don't want to hang around a graveyard. Jesus Christ came out of the tomb on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. Amen. What we call the first Easter morning, the first resurrection day, he came out of the tomb. Amen. And glory be to God. I'm glad that he did. God raised him up. Now the devil thought he had the battle won. And no doubt the devil probably told all his demons, if we can just hold him to the fourth day. If y'all can just hold him the fourth day, corruption will be here. And once corruption sets in, it's over for him. But I tell you, amen, I don't know how it all happened. But I tell you what, on the third day of the week, amen, I mean, he got up and the devil was defeated. And brother, there is a resurrection today. And the world don't talk much about the resurrection of Christ. Oh, they talk about Calvary. But you see, Jesus is not on the cross. I don't want to wear a cross around my neck with Jesus on it because he's not on the cross. Jesus Christ is not on the cross. He's in heaven. He arose. He arose. And boy, they fought that resurrection in the book of Acts. They said, man, we got to do something about this. Even the book of Matthew said, got to give us soldiers to protect the tomb. They said in one place, said this last era is going to be worse than the first. Let me tell you something, brother. The Bible said they persuaded those Jews and gave them money to tell his disciples, stole him away, and said it is commonly reported among them even unto this day. Do you know that the devil had a plan even to this day to deny the resurrection of God? But I tell you, Jesus arose. He's in heaven. And the same power that got him out of the grave is the same power on the day of rapture, on the day of the church being called out of here. The church will not go through one inch of the tribulation period, not one inch of it. And on the day that the church is called out, that same resurrection power that got Jesus Christ up from the grave is going to bring every loved one of yours out of the grave. And you're going to meet them even before you meet Jesus Christ. If you're alive, if I'm alive, I'm going to meet mom and daddy before I meet Jesus. Jesus fixed it that way. You say, well, is that in the Bible? It is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. The Bible said, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, wait a minute. We're going to meet the dead in the air. We're going to have a meeting in the air, and then we're going to meet Jesus. Amen. You say, how's all that going to happen? Going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Paul said it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. What a great day. What a glorious day. Now, that won't be seen by the world. They won't understand that. They won't understand that all of our loved ones have got up and gone. You know, back in the 70s, when I first got saved, and they were preaching that, when the Lord come back, airplanes would crash in the buildings, and I don't know about all that. Because I say this to you, it could be, it could not be, but I say this to you. I believe this, when Jesus arose from the dead, he was just able to go right through a wall. He was just his spirit. I believe this. I believe that God's going to call us out of here. And the world is not going to, now the Antichrist is going to have an answer. And right now, and I the devil's probably been prepared in every age for the Antichrist to come, and he's probably had something he could use in every age. But right now, if the rapture happened this moment, I believe the devil would come out with this lie. I believe he would say, well, global warming and climate change dissolved all those people. And people would believe that. Because there's a lot of people listening to me today, you believe that stuff. No matter what I'm going to say, will change your mind. There's not a verse in the Bible that backs up climate change. Amen. I'm not mad at you. I'm just preaching the book. But I'm just telling you that Jesus is coming. If you're saved, you're going. Amen. As one fellow said, when the tribulation comes, I'll be gone. When it's over, I'll be back. Amen. And Jesus Christ is Lord and King. And glory to God, God raised him from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 36, the Bible said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Amen. Amen. Oh, I want you to know this. Now, Jesus came to Israel, and we don't want to, I'm not against Israel. Amen. And you better be careful as Gentiles, according to Romans 11. Don't you be crowing like a rooster too loud. Amen. You say, well, God gave that they wouldn't receive God and God grafted us in. Yes, but God cautioned you about that. Amen. Yes, but they're still God's people and God's still going to turn to the Jew in the tribulation period. And there will be some Jews saved. The 144,000 is going to preach to the Jews. In the tribulation period, there will be Jews saved. Now, I used to preach and didn't know any better. I used to preach there won't be anybody saved during the tribulation period. That's not right according to the Bible. There will be people saved. Now, if you've heard the gospel and you're sitting here in America and you've heard the gospel, no, you will not be saved. You'll believe the lie of the devil. But I tell you right now, there'll be some people saved in the tribulation period. Amen. But now let me say this to you. Amen. I'm going to go on to say this, that Jesus Christ is God. And he's arose. He's on the throne of heaven. I want to read to you what he said in John 8:56. Jesus said unto them, this crowd was arguing with him, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Boy, there's arguing with him about Abraham. He said, have you seen Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. He said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Amen. God's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. This same Jesus Christ. Amen. Ain't he wonderful? Anyway, who are you depending on? I'm depending on Jesus Christ. 47 years ago, 48, 49 years ago, I heard preachers say that Jesus Christ would take you to heaven. All you had to do was trust in him, believe in him. January 22nd, 1978, at the altar of the old Ronda Baptist Tabernacle, I knelt there and got saved by the glorious grace of God. Amen. Brother Ivan Dameron came over to read scripture with me. I was already saved before he ever got there. I'd already asked God to save me before he ever got there. I couldn't tell you to this day what the man read. I couldn't tell you. I'd already heard enough of the Word of God. I'd heard enough preaching. The Bible said, how shall they hear without a preacher? Those preachers have hung me out over hell, brother. I was scared that they brought that message back to North Carolina. Brother Ed Ballew preached at Faith Baptist Camp in Resaca, Georgia in the mid-70s. If you don't have that message, you need that message. Amen. I seen Brother Sammy Allen. He was selling those messages $50 a piece one time on CD. It'd be worth $50. Amen. Be worth $50. Amen. He's doing it for the camp. Amen. We could get it to you. Amen. But that message on Ed Ballew, I'll tell you right now, if that don't rattle your cage, it won't nothing will, buddy. I'm talking about that put hell. And they brought that thing back, began to play that. You're so preacher, you got scared into it. Now shows what you know. No, I got under Holy Ghost conviction. God arrested my soul and let me realize that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. Amen. And I called on him. Amen. And brother, let me tell you something. Now let me read to you John chapter number 21 and verse 25. Talking about Jesus. By the way, before I read that, I want to ask you a question again. What are you doing to go to heaven? What are you trusting in to go to heaven? You say, well, preacher, if my good outweighs my bad. Well, I can tell you this, it don't. You say, well, preacher, I'm trusting in my riches. I'm going to buy my way to heaven. You'll never do it. Why, the cheapest thing in heaven is transparent gold. They say that that's pure gold. You can see through it. And you think your little old riches is going to compare to God's? You say, well, preacher, I've been good all my life. I doubt that. You say, preacher, I've kept the Ten Commandments. The Bible calls you a liar on that. You say, well, preacher, I go to Sunday school. Well, the devil goes to Sunday school. You say, preacher, I go to church. The devil goes to church. You say, preacher, I read my Bible. The devil knows the Bible. You say, preacher, I give my money. The devil gives money. I had one of the devil's servants come to me and throw money at me. He threw it at me and mocking me and laughing at me for preaching and threw money at me and said, put that on your radio ministry, and laughed at me. 6 months later, a man was in hell. God judged him. God, listen, you don't laugh at God. No, sir. 6 months from the day, about 6 months later, I believe it was God took that man out of here. And I never said a word about that. I believe God took that man because he laughed at me. Amen. But let me say this to you. Ain't Jesus wonderful? I'm trusting in the work that Jesus did. If I die and I miss heaven, Jesus Christ will be a liar. Because he said to me, if you trust me, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ever thought about that thief on the cross? You say, preacher, I'm trusting baptism. Well, that thief on the cross sure couldn't trust baptism. If baptism will save a man, then the thief on the cross is lost and Jesus Christ is a liar. If works will save a man, then the thief on the cross is lost and Jesus Christ is a liar. If being a good person will save a man, then the thief on the cross is lost and Jesus Christ is a liar. You see, there's no way, amen, but it's for by grace. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Would you bow your head right where you are and ask God to save you? You say, well, preacher, you're in the middle of the mess. I sure am, but you ought to bow your head right now and get saved. Don't wait till I get through. You might die before I get through. You may have a heart attack and die before I get through with this. You ought to bow your head and ask God to save you right where you are. Amen. Now, I'm going to read you this verse. Thinking about Jesus. Think about that song. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, satisfies my soul. Now, I'm going to read you the great verse about Jesus. Now, can I quote somebody before I do that? John Lennon. I'm quoting John Lennon. This is what he said. John Lennon said, Christianity shall perish and shrink. Amen. He said, we the Beatles are more popular than Jesus Christ. That's what John Lennon said. Well, you know what? You don't barely ever hear anything about John Lennon today. But Jesus Christ is preached every Sunday. Jesus Christ is sung about on Monday and prayed to on Tuesday. Amen. And walked with on Wednesday and preached about on Thursday. I mean, listen, brother, every day of the week, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Think about on Sunday, how many churches, even yet today, how many churches are lifting up the name of Jesus Christ? He's wonderful. Now I want to read you. I'm going to close this part of the doctrine of Jesus Christ with this verse right here, I believe. Let me make sure I'm where I need to be. So I want to close this part of this with the reading of this verse. What a wonderful verse. John chapter number 21, verse 25, the Bible said, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, and the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. You know what John was basically saying right there? I can't write it all. Did you ever think about how many books have been written, not just the Bible, how many gospel books, how many commentaries have been written about Jesus Christ? You ever thought about that? Man, that is amazing. He is wonderful. Thank God. Well, if you're not saved, I hope you'll get saved. Now, I'm going to go on in the remainder of the time, and I want to go to another doctrine here. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. We studied the doctrine of Jesus. Now, I want to look at the doctrine of faith. The doctrine of faith. Now, when you study the doctrine of faith, probably try to go to Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 1. Because I think the writer of Hebrews, probably the Apostle Paul, I believe that the writer explained this better than Webster could ever explain it. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, in other words, it's like this right here. I'm sitting on this chair. Now, I take for granted this chair is going to hold me while I'm preaching. I can't see it. I right now can't see one inch of this chair that I'm sitting in. I'm not looking at it. I can't see it. It's got underworkings and things under there and bolts and screws and all that. But I'm trusting in this chair. When I sat down here, my faith was in this chair. Now I want to say this. It is sad today that some folk put more faith in a chair than they do Jesus Christ. Amen. One fellow told a story about a fellow had a wheelbar. And he rolled it across this. He said, told his buddy, he said, you believe I can, he tied a rope between two mountains. And there was a big valley between them. He said, you believe I can roll this wheelbar across that, mountain and stand on this rope and never fall? The man said, I don't know. He rolled her across there just real easy and turned it around and come back. The man said, you believe it now? He said, I sure do. He said, I got faith in you. He said, I really believe you can do it. And the man said, all right. He said, if you really believe me, he said, get in. That man wasn't about to get in that wheelbar. Let me tell you something. You know what Jesus is saying? If you believe me, get in. Amen. Even today, you say, well, preacher, I just don't know. If you believe him, get in. Trust him. Be born again. Ask him to save you. Amen. And then you that are saved, have some faith about your Christianity. We're living in the most doubtful age you ever lived in. Preacher, please, y'all pray for me. I'll help my doubt. I'm going to tell you what will help your doubt, getting the Bible. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what you do? Let God do some things. For you young preachers, I'll tell you what, and I love you young men. You listen, you need, before you're going to have the experiences of Green and Sattler and Hudson and Howells and all these great men and Malone and these guys, you're going to have to go through some things. Let God, by faith, take you through. The Bible said, above all, taking the shield of faith. I believe in the Christian's life. I believe the shield of faith is probably the most important thing. Why? Because, listen, if you can't trust Him well, you can't serve Him well. Amen. Now, that Bobby Robertson, that great preacher, my friend, but Dr. Bobby made this statement. He said there's a difference between faith and foolishness, and he's right about that. Now, some folk, one preacher said, I just quit my job, and I'm going down there Sunday and tell the church they're going to take me on full time, and I'm going to trust the Lord. And your light bill probably won't get paid next week, and you won't have enough money to buy your cat food and your dog food, and your car won't have the oil change in it either. Amen. That is foolish. That is foolish. First of all, amen, the church and the pastor ought to work together on that idea, the deacons and the church. And by the way, the church ought to be able financially. You can't say to the congregation, well, if you'll give more money, we can support this preacher full time. By the way, there is nothing wrong with a preacher working a job and pastoring a church. I know that goes against some of y'all's theology, but these boys in Bible school are taught now that it's almost a sin for the preacher to work. And let me tell you something, brother, the church, pastoring a church is not a welfare program. Now hold on a minute. I've done riled some people up. Wait a minute before you bark too high. I believe any church that can take their pastor full time and don't, and number one, they're doing themselves a disfavor. A disservice. Number two, they're doing that pastor a disservice. Amen. They can't expect the pastor to do all the visiting and all that if the church is large and they're not taking care of him. Any church with any sense ought to take care of their pastor. But there's a lot of these little country churches that can't take care of the pastor, and so the pastor needs to work. And he needs to know what it is, brother. Amen. By the way, being full-time is not playing golf 3 days a week and fishing 2 days a week and preaching 2 days a week. Amen. Now, I'm not against golf, and I'm not against fishing. I believe it or not, I've been fishing, and I've played golf. Can you believe that? I can hit the ball as straight as any of you men out there. I can hit it straight. I just can't hit it far. Amen. I can. But I don't spend my time on that. Let me tell you something. I work in the ministry. I work, and life is about getting. Listen, the hour is late, but I want to have faith in God. But here's what I'm saying. I got into all that. But listen, I want to say this to you. There's times, preacher, that you go out to trust God in your ministry. There's times it don't look right. There's times God's going to ask you to build something or do something. There's times it's not going to look right, but it's right. And I tell you, in the ministry, I've had to trust God many times. Amen. Many different projects I've had to trust God on. And I've had to believe God. God said, we're going to, and man has said, oh, preacher, I don't know about that. Man, I don't know about that. Don't let one man came to me, a great preacher. He's in heaven now. And he said to me one day, he said, preacher, he said, you're a man of faith. I thought, dear sir, if you knew how I worried and if you knew how I concerned, my mama has always told me, said, Ricky, she said you'd worry because ain't nothing to worry about. Amen. I tell you, I'm not too good at faith. But I believe this, if God said it, it's right. And I believe this, my life's verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 24. I always sign Bibles with this verse. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If it is God's bill, it is God will pay the bill. Amen. If it's his will, it's his bill. You don't think Jesus would go in a restaurant and sit down, order a big steak, and walk out and not pay for it, do you? And brother, when he's ordered something big in our ministry right now. Right now, as I'm preaching this, he's put in a big order right now. Probably one of the hardest things we've ever done. But I tell you right now, it's by faith. God said it's going to happen, and I'm trusting Jesus Christ about it. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God's good. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You'll never get anywhere walking by sight. And I just can't see that. Let me tell you something. Elijah walked by faith. Elijah went to the brook by faith. Elijah was fed by the ravens by faith. Elijah went to Zarephath by faith. Elijah told the widow woman to make him a cake first by faith. Elijah went to Mount Carmel by faith. Elijah allowed the prophets of Baal to preach and prophesy all day and have their camp meeting and cut themselves with blood. I'm not against camp meetings. Amen. I'm just saying they had one in the flesh. Amen. They preached all day and cut them. Buddy, I tell you what, when they got those knives out, so we're going to cut each other. That'd been the part of the service I believe I'd have left right there. I said, y'all gonna have my spot. I'm gone. Amen. Elijah by faith called fire down from heaven. Elijah by faith had those prophets slain. But Elijah by sight was a failure. In chapter 19 of First Kings, when Jezebel sent him that message, I'll have your head by tomorrow about this time. The Bible said when Elijah saw that. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make some people mad that don't want to. Now preachers, I'm going to tell you that I love you. And I'm going to tell you that I'm unworthy to tell you anything. I'm so unworthy. You men are such, the worst preacher out there are so far greater ahead of me in my preaching. I'm not a good preacher, but men, I want to tell you, you will never do anything for God walking by sight. You never will. You never. Well, preacher, I see this in 5 years where we're going to be. Don't do that. Don't go down that road. Let God have every turn by faith. Just walk by faith. Live by faith. Live by God. Amen. And don't try to reason everything. Well, this can't happen because it can't be this way. Oh, but it can. God sometimes takes the way. Amen. I had a preacher friend of mine telling me a story. He was pastoring a church. And he told me how much the church paid him. He said, man, I got an offer. He said, this church, man, they offered double what that other church is paying him. And you know what? That man couldn't leave and switch churches. You know why? Because it wasn't God's will. You say, well, preacher, it's always God's will if it's more money to take care of my family. Well, who you trusting, God or family? Won't you trust your family to God and let God take care of your family? Amen. You say, well, preacher, my family comes first. No, God will. Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying don't feed your family. I'm not saying quit your job and say, well, I'll just worry about paying my bills. Say, no. It's sort of like a story I heard the other day. I heard this story, amen, and I thought it was good. I hope the preacher don't mind me using it, but I'm going to use this little story. He's telling about this man. Said this man came to work, and he was all the time worrying about everything. And said, finally, the man got to where he didn't take a bath, he didn't clean up, he didn't do anything, his hair was grown out, and the boss finally called him aside and said, man, what in the world's wrong with you? He said, well, he said, I'm gonna tell you, boss, he said, I just worry all the time. He said, I worry so much, I don't even feel like taking a bath, I don't feel like getting a haircut, I don't feel like coming to work, I just drag. And the boss told him about a place down there. He said, well, they'll give you some counseling. He said, why don't you go down to this place and help you? And so the next day or two, the man came in wearing a suit and tie. And he was a whistling and a singing. And he was just working away. And the boss went to him and said, man, what in the world happened to you? He said, oh, he said, boss, he said, I took your advice. I went down to that counseling place. He said, they really helped me. He said, what did they tell you down there? He said, oh, they told me to hire somebody. And the boss said, do what? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I went out and I hired a guy to do my worrying for me. And the boss got real concerned. He said, oh, wait a minute. Now, I know you don't make much money. How much are you paying this guy a week? He said, oh man, I'm giving him $2,000 a week to do my word for. The boss said, $2,000 a week? He said, I don't pay you that much. How are you going to pay him? The man said, that ain't my problem. Let him worry about that. I ain't talking about that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about this. God, through faith, if God lays on your heart, preacher, to build a building, build it. If God's laid on your heart to start a ministry, do it. Let me tell you something, fella. If God's laid on your heart to go to the mission field, and you know it's God, go. Lady. If God's laid on your husband's heart to go to the mission field and you trust him and he's the man of God and you know he's right, you go with him. You may not understand it. It may not look right, but you don't walk by sight. Ephesians 2:8, you have to get saved by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you say, preacher, how do I get saved? If I could just see something. No, you don't get saved by seeing something. You get saved by faith. You know what? That's why I don't believe in all these gimmicks and tricks to get people saved. I don't believe in scaring people into salvation. I don't believe in this, that. I believe in preaching. And I tell you, the devil does not like preaching in our churches. That's the one thing we're cutting out. You know, I'm worried about something in our day. I'm worried about our Sunday evening services in America are beginning to be a thing of the past. I encourage you preachers, put Sunday night service back. You say, preacher, nobody won't come. You're using philosophy. You're using reason. Put your Sunday night service back. If there's not but two of you there, you and your wife, pray and read the Bible, preach to her, and go home. Amen. Be faithful over what that God's give you. Put your Sunday night services back. Amen. Talk to your deacons. Amen. Don't start a church split over it, but if you can, put Sunday night services back. Amen. In some cases, some men may not be able to get that done, but if you can, possibly, put your Sunday night service. Why? Have faith in God. Listen, I want to tell you something. You know why? The more preaching we have, the more people get saved. Preachers, don't cut your preaching short on Sunday morning. You know, churches want to have all kinds of programs and things on Sunday, but I'm going to tell you something. Bless your heart. There's nothing more important than preaching. It's all right to give a Bible to the high school graduates, but it's not more important than preaching. It's all right to recognize the newborn babies, but it's not more important than preaching. It's all right to recognize somebody and give them an award for attending Sunday school, but it's not more important than preaching. It's all right to do this or that, but it's not more important than preaching. Have preaching on Wednesday night. Have preaching. Have teaching from the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This generation has weak faith because we're not listening to preaching. Our ministry put an internet radio station on there. And it's an internet radio station, and it just preaches all the time. And we've gotten more response out of that. People are still hungry for the preaching of the Word of God. Faith. Believe God, folk. I hope I've encouraged. Young man, believe God. You're in Bible college. Say, preacher, I can't pay my bills. Trust God. Go to God. If God puts you there, you stay there. Preacher, if God puts you in that church, don't you do like I did in 1990. Don't you walk away. If I had that do-over, I'd never left that church. Never, never, never. God wants to help us. Amen. By faith. Trust Him. The doctrine of faith. Father, take the message. Use it for Your glory. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.